And hello, everybody. Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Greer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, in honor of Mother's Day, which is next Sunday, we are going to talk about being mothers. Yes, we don't really share our life as mothers with too many people, but we are foster moms.
Mm-hmm. And right now we have three little ones living with us. But in our past, many people don't know that we fostered 26 kids over a 20-year period. That's a lot of time, and that's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of time. That's a lot of kids. So this is sure to be a very interesting show. So we hope you will stick around as we discuss our lives as moms. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, May 3rd, 2015. Well, unless you were completely off the grid this week, you've already heard about this Tuesday's U.S. Supreme Court hearing on same-sex marriage. Six plaintiffs brought cases from Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Ohio before the court. The nine justices heard 2.5 hours of arguments responding to two questions. Under the Constitution, can states ban same-sex marriage? And can a state disregard recognition of a legal marriage performed in another state? At the heart of these two questions is the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. Analysts have been dissecting every comment and question made by the nine justices in an attempt to predict how the court will vote. After listening to the audio of the entire hearing, I can tell you only that you'll have to wait until June to know exactly what the Supreme Court decides. And after waiting nearly 6 months to be confirmed, Loretta Lynch was sworn in as our nation's 83rd Attorney General. And this week, Attorney General Lynch issued a statement on Tuesday's same-sex marriage hearing at the Supreme Court. Lynch said, quote, "I'm committed, as is this department, to ensuring equal dignity and equal treatment for all members of society, regardless of sexual orientation. As we argued before the Supreme Court, same-sex couples deserve that treatment now." The we would be U.S. Solicitor General Donald Varelli, who works for the Justice Department. During the hearing, Varelli argued that the right to marry is, quote, "integral to human dignity," and noted that the wait-and-see approach gives gay people second-class status. Varelli added, "Gay and lesbian people are equal. They deserve equal protection of the laws, and they deserve it now." And in North Dakota, politician Randy Boning got caught with his pants down when a 21-year-old Dustin Smith showed a local Fargo newspaper explicit photos of the state representative sent to him via Grindr. Boning told Inforum, quote, "That's what gay guys do on gay sites, don't they? That's how things happen on Grindr. It's a gay chat site. It's not the first thing that you do on the site, but that's what we do, exchange pics." When Boning, who recently voted against protecting gay North Dakotans from housing and employment discrimination, was confronted with the evidence, he came out as a bisexual. And here locally, Memorial Day weekend, Dwayne Wells and the Grayton Resort and Casino will present Review, a show that combines cabaret, music, comedy, and theatrical entertainment. The two evening events will happen on Saturday, May 23rd and Sunday, May 24th. The cast lineup reads like the who's who of LGBT entertainers, including musical artists Levi Chris, Shoshana Bean, Joey Arias, Elaine Gibbs, and Jimmy James. Drag performers include Wigstock, Lady Bunny, and the legendary Jackie Beat. Primetime TV actress and transgender activist Candace Kane will also appear. Part of the show will be the only Northern California performance of the Anna Wintour-inspired musical Ryan Rafferty in The Most Powerful Woman in Fashion. Grayton's general manager Joe Hassan said, "We know how incredible it is to see all of these performers on the same bill, and we're thrilled to wow audiences with this showcase of talented entertainers. Review is truly about music, elegance, entertainment, and some occasional outrageousness, the likes of which we know is not found anywhere else in Northern California." Tickets for this event are $55 for general admission, $75 for premier tickets, and $100 for VIP passes. You can learn more at Ticketmaster. And without a doubt, this year's Gay Pride celebration will either be about celebrating a positive ruling by the Supreme Court about marriage, or lamenting and protesting a devastating setback. Pride celebrations this year will begin in the North Bay the first weekend of June, and the new Sonoma County Pride organization is hard at work planning this year's festivities. Events will be held in Guerneville starting on Friday, June 5th, and will run through Sunday, June 7th, with a parade down Main Street and the festival back at the Guerneville Lodge. Sonoma County Pride is now accepting applications for booth space at the festival, contingents in the parade, and, of course, the many volunteers that are needed to help make the celebration of LGBT Pride all happen. You can learn more about Sonoma County Pride right now at sonomacountypride.org. And we'll have members from the Sonoma County Pride Organization Committee on this month's edition of Outbeat News in Depth, airing on the fourth Sunday of May. And you can find all of the Pride celebration information for Sonoma, Napa, and San Francisco all in one place on our website at outbeatnews.com. We'll update the page daily, so be sure to check back frequently. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, May 4th at 10 a.m., the Napa LGBT Older Adults Discussion Group will gather at the Queen of the Valley Community Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And also on Tuesday at 6 p.m., the trans group will host an open friends and family meeting at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Thursday, May 7th at 4 p.m., the Santa Rosa LGBT Support Group will convene at the Positive Images Center in Santa Rosa. For more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And welcome back. This is Sheridan, and I'm sitting right next to my wife and co-host Diana. Want to say hi, Di?
Hello out there, people.
So, like Diana said before our news and events break, tonight we're going to be talking about, in honor of Mother's Day, motherhood, and Diana and I are foster parents. But before we do that, I wanted to put a little plug out there for a concert that's coming up that's kind of all about me, in a way. It's a fundraiser for the breakfast program, Saturday breakfast program for the homeless, sponsored by the UU in Santa Rosa. The concert is called An Evening of Healing Music with Sheridan Gold and Friends. And I am friends with a woman named Jan, and she belongs to the UU, Universalist, Unitarian Universalist.
Jan Ogren. She was a guest of ours before. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a local psychotherapist and a storyteller and author. And anyway, she thought it'd be great to have a fundraiser, and she's the one producing it. It was her idea. She's producing it. And so she asked me if I would play, and I told her I would. I play Native American flute. I play silver flute. I play African drums. I play djembe and ngoma and ashiko. And I have some friends that are going to come with me. Diana is going to read an inspirational poem prayer that she's written, and I'll be accompanying her with my flute. And then we have some singer, Lisa Cohen. We have one of my buddies who's going to chant and drum and rattle, Renee. He's from Colombia, and he's going to be sharing his music with us. We have Caroline, who's going to be dancing. And you can go onto my website and see the flyer at SheridanGold.com. You'll see the flyer, and you can buy tickets at Brown Paper Tickets, or you can get them from me. So give me a call, email me, sharegold@sonic.net, and I can get you tickets for no processing fee. Anyway.
And you know what? It'd be a great Mother's Day present, a gift, you know, a little ticket, because it's going to be a beautiful evening of music.
It is going to be a beautiful evening of music, and it's going to be on June 6th. And what's interesting about that date is that is our Gay Pride here in Sonoma, that whole weekend, the 5th, 6th, and the 7th. And Diana and I will be at live at Pride, as we always are, with our good buddy Greg, who's going to be engineering and recording us. We'll be doing the parade again like we did last year, and we'll be recording voices live at Pride, and that's on the 7th. And on the 6th, in the evening, if you need a break from all of the
activities
and the stimulation, come to Glaser Center in Santa Rosa, a beautiful 300-seat theater. The acoustics are glorious. And come and have a bit of beautiful, healing music. You will be inspired and hopefully get some healing done as well for yourself, maybe, or for your family, just sending out healing thoughts, because that's what it's about, an evening of healing music. I hope to see a lot of you out there. So back to our theme, our show, our Mother's Day show. You know, we usually try to get guests for our Mother's Day show, and we looked at each other and we said, well, wait a minute, we're mothers. Well, let's interview each other.
In the last 2.5 months, we've been mothers.
Again.
Again.
So like we said, we have had 26 foster kids over a period of 20 years. We took a break, and now we're back. And right now we have 3 little ones living with us. And it's fun and chaotic and funny.
Chaotic. And sometimes fun.
And we'll tell you more about the 3 that are living with us now. But we kind of wanted to give a historical perspective a little bit. So I'm going to ask the first question to Diana. So Diana, how did you get started in foster care? When and how?
Let's see. 1985, we bought our first house in Novato, California. And my mom was doing foster care at that time. And so we were building our house, not building our house, but, you know, remodeling and fixing things up. And but we would come and visit. We would go on the weekends and visit my mom and visit her foster kids. And lo and behold, we were like the transportation goddesses or something. We like took them everywhere. We took them to the beach. We took them to the movie theater. We took them just lots of different places.
Camping. And we had your nephews, all 4
and my
of
nephews.
Them.
5, so 6
of them.
We would have like, we could have like 8 or 9 kids with us.
And that was before it was still legal to have kids in the back of your truck.
Right.
Without seatbelts.
Can you imagine?
10 kids in the back of a little Toyota pickup going to China Camp in San Rafael.
With sleeping bags.
Or to Point Reyes.
A cooler of food. So we would just visit my mom and hang out with the kids. And we were thinking to ourselves one day, like, we spend so much time with these kids. Why not have our own? And so 1986, a year later, we became foster parents to first 3 girls.
Monica was our first.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
but the 3 is interesting.
Yeah, no, we had 4 teenagers back to back.
Yeah.
And we decided.
But wait, I want to tell you about the 3, because our first one lasted 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason she lasted 3 weeks, she ran away. She was 17 and a half. And the reason she ran away, she didn't want to do any chores. So she's 17 and a half. And, you know, we have these expectations that a person will make their bed when they get up. And they will help around the house and clean their dishes. And we wanted her to mow the lawn. I mean, it sounds kind of funny now, but we did. We said, we're doing yard work. Come and mow the lawn. And she said no. And she packed and left. Now, we were talking to her mom over the phone. And her mom said this. I'm sorry. It's all my fault. I never made her do any work. And we said to each other, well, maybe that's why she's in foster care.
Oh.
But anyway, that was 3 weeks. And then that was our first one.
Yeah. And I remember the mornings, those 3 weeks of her not wanting to clean the shower doors. Yeah, we have some strict rules, but
we're kind of picky.
We're picky in a sense, but they're basic, you know, taking care of yourselves and stuff. Okay, and then we had another one, another teenager, and a 4th teenager. And we decided, no more teenagers. And we say, okay, we tried this age group. Now we're going to switch.
Because they couldn't connect with us. They didn't want to have anything to do with us.
We wanted to be moms and we wanted to go camping and do things. And these kids just didn't want it. They wanted to do their own thing. So we just weren't a good match. And so we went for the younger ones. We always wanted girls. So we found these three little young girls, Latino girls, and that was really fun. That was the best placement. We had really great times telling stories. They did plays. They just had a lot of energy, and they connected with us. And they didn't mind hugging, you know, being affectionate. So we were like a family. Felt good. And then they left.
Well, they were with us for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, they were. We really did some strong bonding with them. In fact, we still, you know, we're Diana's friends with them on Facebook. I don't really do Facebook, but she's friends with them on Facebook. And then every once in a while, one of them will call, say hello. Or we got a letter once about maybe 3 years ago during the holidays, and one of them wrote and said, thank you. Mm-hmm. She said, I wouldn't be where I am today. She's married and has two kids. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Beautiful.
And it was like out of the blue. So that was really awesome.
Beautiful letter. And so then after that, we had boys. We decided to try boys or something. I think the placement, they needed us to do something. Anyways, we really enjoyed. We had like five boys, two and then another one showed up.
Brothers.
So, yeah, two brothers. And then three boys that weren't brothers. So, and it was fun. It was fun with the boys. And we learned different things about girls and boys. And I really enjoyed the boys because they didn't mind to go outside and work and be athletic. And I love that. I just love that they didn't have to, like, take so much time in the bathrooms. You know, it was just quick and easy. You know, okay, let's go. It was quick and easy.
It was so easy.
It was fast. It was great.
There was no drama. There was like, they just got along, pretty much. They got along. Mm-hmm. They wanted to play games with us. Mm-hmm. They wanted to play ping pong. You had ping pong tournaments with one of them.
Mm, oh, my gosh. They worked me out. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we went back to girls. I think we kind of settled in with junior high school age, mm-hmm. middle school age girls, which was good. It was not so close to teenagehood that they wouldn't want to bond with us. And it wasn't so young that we had to tell them everything over and over again. So middle school age was a good age for us.
Yeah.
To really enjoy kids, you know, and being foster moms. So Cher, you know, I hear people when we talk about foster parenting, how they say, how can you do that? How can you give up so much of your time to take care of these kids that come in with so much trauma? How do you do this? And so my question to you, Cher, is why did you continue to do it? 26 kids, and now you back in it. And we'll talk about back in it three with these three.
Do you want me to talk about back in it right
now?
No,
or? Just talk about what's the benefit? What do you get out of the 26 and the 20 years that you've...
Yeah, okay, that's a good question. I think selfishly what I got out of it is I really wanted to have fun. I wanted to have fun with kids. And most of the time, we had fun, and it's not like I had anything else going on in my life. I had work. I was working full time. But it's not like I was being pulled after I got home from work in all kinds of directions where I didn't have time to be with kids. I wanted to be with them. I wanted to help them read, help them with their schoolwork. I really wanted to help them navigate the world so that they would be successful adults. I really wanted that. And I felt like the job that I was doing was, in the present time, giving them good memories for when they would return home. And reunification was always part of the understanding when kids would come into the house. And I knew that going in, too. Parent is working on issues. we're taking care of their kids until those issues are resolved, and then the kids go back. Mm-hmm. So why not give these kids good memories? Why not help them understand another way of being in the world, and then let them decide how they want to live when they're adults? At least they've seen another way, just one other way. I remember most of the kids that would come in really didn't understand about wasting water. They didn't understand that you can't take a shower for an hour, you know? And we help them understand how long a minute is of running water. I think we put a bucket under the faucet and we ran the faucet for a minute, 1 minute, and then we watered plants with it. But we just sat there and they couldn't believe it. And it's just little lessons like that that kids aren't taught maybe in their, with their bio families. And then, you know, the whole wasting thing went on to electricity. It went on to food, just everything, because toilet paper. I mean, seriously, some of these kids come from homes where there were just no limits and boundaries. And they just would use, you know, just imagine toilet paper going around your hand over and over and over and over and over, like half a roll for one use. I mean, they didn't understand, like, you don't need that much toilet paper for one, you know, going to the bathroom one time.
And she's not exaggerating, because we're dealing with it now.
So, you know, I really wanted to help the world, really. And, you know, helping the world can be as small as helping one person.
Mm, beautiful.
So that's like a long answer to a very short question.
No, I think that's great.
How about you?
I can add to that, because...
Why did you keep going? What fed you?
I wanted to help. I knew. And people say, you know, why... Didn't you get attached? I mean, didn't you like fall in love and all of that? We knew, you and I, especially me, I knew exactly what I was doing when I got involved. I wanted to educate. I wanted to show them a different way of being in the world, that they could be successful, that they can learn different ways. They can learn how to communicate, how to be in relationship. I remember we would have an argument sometimes and they would get all freaked out because they thought we would go to the extreme, like, you know, what they've experienced in their own families. I say, you guys, it's fine. We're not going to pull a knife out. We're not going to grab a gun. It's just arguments are okay. And so they got to see how that was done. So we did a lot of education, a lot of practice with the kids, and that felt good to me, because we've had how many kids, lots of them, come back and tell us, thank you for this, thank you for teaching us these values. So anyways, yeah, that's why I did it back then. Mm-hmm.
Do any stories stick out for you, any stories that still bring you, you know, to tears laughing about it? Anything? I mean, there's one that I remember.
Many stories as far as some of the kids that I've worked with that mm-hmm. we've had. This is a story. Some of the girls, especially, and they're older, you know, junior high or even early teenagerhood. We would pretend that we're babies.
Oh, yeah.
That was, you know.
Yeah,
because they had bottles and pacifiers and, you know, something that they needed the nurturance. And I allowed them to be babies. And I would be baby with them, because I know how it was for me not being nurtured in that baby way. And so I would be like, we would have some polenta, some oatmeal, and we would, and then I would feed them, and we just laughed, you know. It was funny, but we were, you know, satisfying a need at the same time. But we would laugh and laugh. I said, come on over here, sweetheart, and sit on my lap. And they just loved it. We just have some fun times like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, I remember when we would make ice cream sundaes after dinner.
Yeah.
And for some reason, this is at our house in Novato. For some reason, we all would sit on the floor in the kitchen. And our kitchen was pretty small, so it had like a counter and
like a U.
So we'd sat in the U and just
in the middle, yeah.
Ate our ice cream sundaes and would laugh and go
ice cream with chocolate fudge and
making me hungry.
The toppings. Oh, they loved it. We had a grand old time on the floor.
Yeah.
Can you imagine just sitting on the floor having sundaes? It was fun. The five of us.
Yeah. I mean, I think we really love spending time with kids. But for me, I need something back. I need to get something back so I know that I'm making a difference. If there's nothing there, like one of our kids, really, there was nothing there. And we, after about a year, actually your mother took him. Mm-hmm. And he lived with your mother until he reunified with his mom. Mm-hmm. And we hear from him every once in a while. He's like 28 and has a daughter. And
Yeah.
So it's really great hearing from our kids every once in a while. So
yeah, that's cool. That's the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we can
take a little music break.
A music break, and then we can talk about what's happening.
We'll take a little music break. The first one is going to be called, let me see what it's called. Home is Where I Make It. And it is was a project by some singers in Nashville. And the lyrics were written, almost all of them written by foster kids. It's very glorious. Also, it is a music video on YouTube. And it's too long for me to give it to you. You know, there's a lot of equal signs and capital letters and numbers and things. But I think it might be on the KRCB website playlist for our show if you want to see where I found this song. And because it's got a beautiful video of foster kids, of all kids, and parents enjoying one another. Enjoy.
Been so many places. There's one thing I know. There's no place like home. Oh, there's no place like home.
At the end of that video, it says, "We Will Rise, Nashville." And so you can go to www.wewillrisenashville.com and hopefully find the video there. But it's interesting. We were all saying how those women, especially the first one, sounded like Melissa Etheridge. And it's like there's not even a name of any of those women that were singing. And they're so beautiful. There are three different women singing. Home is where you make it. We just want to wish Greg and Tony happy, happy blessings in their new home. And home is where you make it. And they just moved. So we wish you the best of luck. And we know that it will be a wonderful journey for both of you. He's nodding his head. Thank you. So getting back, if you just joined us, this is Living Proof. I'm Sheridan, and I'm sitting next to my wife and co-host, Diana. And we are talking about our experiences as mothers, foster mothers. We kind of gave in the first half little history, what we were doing back in the 80s and 90s, and now we wanted to talk a little bit about what we're doing now.
So now, 2004 was our last kids at the house. During the time I decided to go back and get my PhD. And so in between that time, 2015, 2004 to 2015, we had like maybe two or three kids that pop in for like a couple days. They didn't really work out, but we weren't into anybody staying for any length of time until after I got my dissertation in 2010. I decided, okay, I'm ready to not just foster, but to adopt. And so we started that journey of adoption. But we never did find the right group of kids. And we're looking for more than two, a sibling group. And we're looking for African-American or biracial kids, for sure. So that journey was really difficult. Eventually, we're getting close to like giving up at one point. And we got a call. And this call was for five kids. And we say, okay, we have room. Let's meet them and see what happens. And so we met these five kids, and we had a wonderful time. They seemed like they're personable. They seemed friendly. They were affectionate. They're athletic. It was like, okay, this could work. Let's do it. And so we decided that we would take the five kids. And February 14th would be the day that we would meet up and get them, which is a nice, lovely day. What was that day? That was V-Day, wasn't it? Yeah.
OBR.
Yeah, and so we're doing a performance. So they came to our performance, but they missed our performance. They came afterwards. But the event, they came to OBR in Santa Rosa. And we met these three. We had these three kids there, and it was really sweet to see them again. And they enjoyed the festivities, but the older two decided not to come. So we've had only the three younger ones. And it's been, how do we say it? It's been like a roller coaster, not a roller coaster. It's been hard.
Well, we didn't really ask for a 4-year-old. So that gives you a little indication, because they're 4, 6, and 10.
He's a handful, and they all are handfuls. And so we've been really, really busy. We tried to create a community before we got started, but our community has faded. Each time, each person, we've had like many babysitters. At least 10 people have volunteered to babysit, and they're not asking to come back. We're laughing, but it's sad. It's like Where are you, friends? Where are you, community? You know, we're doing a good deed here for the world, for society. We're trying to keep this group out of you know, the clutches of
the streets.
Yeah, really, exactly. So that's one thing you want when you're working with foster kids is to have some relief and some support. But it's been really difficult. We've had some wonderful times where we can laugh and play and joke, but they would want to do that like 8 hours a day. And that's just, we just don't have the time or the energy because there's so much other things to do. Like take care of the yard, take care of the animals, clean, cook 3 meals a day and have a snack and pack a snack. There's a lot involved. But we love the kids and we really want it to work. So we're asking for help. We're asking the social services department and the social workers to give us some support and give us some help and bring in some behaviorists to help the kids with their behaviors that need help and to give us a relief. We need some relief, seriously. But we really decided to take these kids because of the connection, even though they are just removed from the parents' home, we decided to go this route anyways. But it's a reunification case, and these kids has the potential of going back home. And at this point in our relationship, that's a good thing. We want if mom can get it together. If the parents can get it together, that's a good thing. And the kids want to go home too. So we're all for it. But we're there just in case things don't work out. That's why they call us foster adopt parents. So it's called concurrent planning when there's a case where the kids come in as foster, but they can be adopted by the family where they're placed. So that's what we have now. So we're still looking for family and community, and we're looking for babysitters and
anybody who want to babysit
to help us move through the hard times.
The thing about it is, you know, we have a lot of friends who said, "Oh, I want to be auntie," and it's like, "Okay, where are you?" So if anybody's out there that would like to help, but you don't really know what to do, maybe you've thought about foster parenting, or maybe you've thought about being a big sister or a big brother or something. We need you. And it doesn't have to be long. And we could be home. You could be with the kids outside at, they call it the park, but we have a play structure out there. You could be with them for a half hour, hour, just hanging out and getting to know them and building some consistency. But we're not really making a plug for wanting help as much as we really want to tell you that at this point in our lives, we're in our late 50s. And a lot of people were shocked that we would take on 5 kids. Like, you're doing what? And now that it's only 3 kids because the 2 refused, we're really happy that it's just 3. But I want to talk a little bit about how I'm different as a foster parent now than how I was 20 years ago. Mm. And I want you to answer the same thing. Okay? Because, well, I'm different. Maybe you're going to say that you're not different. I know I'm different. And the way I'm different is it doesn't matter to me anymore that somebody won't either finish their food or won't taste something. I used to really kind of go bananas because, you know, it gets into your own issues when you were being raised, right? So when I was being raised, we had to try everything and we had to finish our food and we weren't allowed to waste food. And so that's what I expected of the kids that came to live with me in the 80s and the 90s. Well, now here we are, 2015, and I accept that they're not going to like everything, that they're going to waste food, that they're going, and so I learn. I don't give them so much anymore. I give them a little bit to see if they like it or not. And I'm not getting in power struggles like I used to. And I think that's because I've matured. You know, I'm in my late 50s now. Things, it just doesn't matter. It's like, you know, you always hear people say, choose your battles. And it's true. However, you really have to experience what that means. And when I was a foster parent, when I was in my 30s and 40s, I had a lot more energy and I was a lot more invested in the kids and their decisions. And now it's like, oh, you don't want that? Okay. That's okay. It's your choice. And see you next meal. And you'll probably be hungry and okay. Like, not get so tied up into the fact that they made that choice, but just help them learn to live with the natural consequences that come out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm much more mellow now than I used to be. And
I would agree with that, yeah.
I think before, because I was working full-time, I didn't have a whole lot of energy. Like, I worked with expelled youth, and then I came home to disturbed kids. And it was really wearing on me. And now I don't teach expelled youth anymore. So I just have kids and a house to take care of and a flute to play and drums to teach. And, I mean, I'm really super happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it's very balanced, and I have a lot more energy to be with the kids. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I'm different. How about you, Diana?
I like what you say. I think, you know, I'm looking at it and feeling into it. I think it's the strictness. I'm less strict. It's like, okay, I'm just, this is your meal. This is what you have. If you don't want it, you know, it's not, save it for later. You know, you don't have to finish it. You don't have to. It's just we're softer, I think.
Yeah.
I think we're a lot softer. Other than that, I think I'm pretty much the same fun person. You know, I really believe in discipline. I really believe in having fun with the kids. But then at the same time, on the flip side of that is seriousness. When it's time to be serious, when it's time to be responsible and to be serious. And so I really appreciate to continue doing what we've done with the kids, the 26 kids we're doing now again, family meetings. Family meetings are so important and something that I teach in my practice with couples, with families, with individuals. It's really important to sit down with your loved ones and talk about what your week's been like and what issues or concerns that needs to be talked about. And the kids are amazing. And then the last part about family meetings, we do appreciations. And they love the appreciations. Everybody wants to be appreciated. And so everybody has to appreciate each person in the group, in the family. And it's a beautiful thing. At least they got to come up with one thing. But Cher and I kind of, you know, we kind of overdo it and feed them so they can kind of feel into how it feels to be appreciated.
Now before wait, I wanted to say something about family meetings because, you know, you might think that a four-year-old can't sit in a family meeting, and that's simply not true. He's very focused in family meeting. And the thing that I love about our family meetings is it gives each kid a voice. Most kids are told what to do by their parents. They might holler about it. They might slam a door about it, act out about it, whatever, but they don't really get a chance to say how they felt about it. So each kid, and Diane, myself, we each get a chance to say, I didn't like it when you did that. So our four-year-old will say, you know, do you have any issues with anyone? And he'll say, I didn't like it when my sister didn't play with me. I mean, in his life, that's a huge issue. So then we go to his sister and we say, you know, do you understand what he said? Yes. What can you say? And she'll say, sorry, I didn't mean to be mean. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we wouldn't have had this family meeting, they wouldn't have apologized to each other. He wouldn't have been able to have his voice heard. And when we had those three sisters for 2.5 years, we really helped the seven-year-old who was, you know, little kids, little brothers and sisters. Nobody likes them, right? And they don't get a chance to have a voice. And we helped her have a voice. Mm-hmm. I know we did. And she came to us when she was seven and came back and left when she was 13. But anyway, I know we're helping all three kids have a voice with each other. Because when Diana was saying it's chaos, all they do is scream at each other. They don't really know how to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. So the family meetings give them a format.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they witness. So they don't know how to be in relationship with one another. And so learning how to use their words It's amazing. And the four-year-old can give each person in the room an appreciation. So it works. So try it. So since it's an
honor.
Even
if you don't have kids.
Even if you don't have kids, you can do it with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
So Cher and I decided to share with you a list of things that we think would be special for a mother who's, if you want to do something really special for in celebration of Mother's Day for a mother, based on our own knowledge, you know, we don't need much. I don't need much as a mother to be celebrated, to be acknowledged. These are the types of things that we made a list of what would be great gift for us. If these three kids that we have now could honor this list, the first one would be listening. Just listen, cooperate, listen to what we say. We say stop, or we say get down from there. If we say
get down from there.
Get down from there.
If we say stop, stop. Don't keep doing it.
Don't keep doing it. Exactly.
We would love it if these three kids would get along. And I remember my mom and dad telling us, honey, if you want to get us an anniversary present, just get along with one another. That would be the best present. And now we're saying it to these kids.
Oh, yeah. Constantly fighting every half hour somebody's crying?
Yes, at least, if not 15 minutes.
Or 15 minutes.
They're laughing 1 minute and then someone's sobbing the next.
It's like, come on. Today I was like, done. I say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But, you know, so get along would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
No crying goes with that.
Yeah.
No crying today. That'd be a great Mother's Day. Oh, my word.
Another one would be, we would love it if the three kids would perform a skit for us.
Oh, that's a special one.
And if they performed it, I could videotape it, and then it could be videotaped. It would be so great.
So what would the skit be? The theme would be
it
something
could be,
appreciation?
No. They could do a fairy tale. They could do Little Red Riding Hood. I don't care.
Uh-huh.
Just a skit, you know, of a story they all know.
Okay. I would like them to just go out and pick some weeds.
We love our weeds, but they do not love weeds. And I remember my mom and dad trying to get us to pick weeds. That was hard to pick weeds. Who wants to pick weeds?
We've
you know
had
what I mean?
Kids who could pick some weeds, but these kids, they pick one or two weeds. And
they're tired.
Looking at the sky. Hey, you guys, pick some weeds for us, okay? We would be happy mothers.
Another one that we would love is for them to sing us a song.
Uh-huh.
It'd be beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice. You know what? I had the small one, the four-year-old, today. I said, I'm so tired. I've been cutting the lawn. I've been picking weeds. I've been loading wood today. We were working hard in the yard today. And I said, you know what? My foot hurt, because he was looking at my foot. We were just sitting around. And I said, can you massage my foot for me? He was just my right foot. And he started rubbing it. I said, oh, my gosh, that feels so good. So a foot massage would be great.
Oh, foot massage. Oh,
yeah.
That'd be nice.
I think I'm going to ask him to do that.
And then the last one that we have on our list would be like the best present. Go spend some alone time alone. That would be like the best present in the world, with no crying, no fighting, you know. Oh, my gosh, that'd be terrific.
We don't need much. See,
no, we
don't have to
much.
Go out and spend any money.
Nope.
No dinners, no nothing. Just
no. Please, no dinners.
Calm.
Don't be cooking in my kitchen, honey. Please.
Just peace and calm in the household, and that would be lovely. So for your mothers out there, you don't talk to your moms. You'd be surprised. You know, they don't need no $50 dinner certificate. Just something probably simple and basic they probably would enjoy and love.
Time.
Time with you, probably.
Time with you.
Yeah.
Time is free, and it's so valuable.
And so you want time with yours?
With my mom? I would love time with my mama.
No, I'm talking about these three.
Oh, yeah, if we didn't have crying and didn't have to officiate every other minute. Yeah, yes. I would love it. Yeah. They do a skit for me and sing me a song. That'd be terrific.
That'd be lovely.
So, but I would love to spend some time with my mom, too. Anyway, yeah, my mom's in Florida and getting up there and dealing with a sick father. So my sick father, not her sick father, dealing with my father who's sick. So I don't get to see her very often. So anyway, we do have one more song that we'd like to share with you. And then we're going to come back and Diana's going to read a poem about her mama. Okay, Di? All right. This song is beautiful song that we found by Lauryn Hill about her own son named Zion. And people, when they found out she was pregnant, people questioned if she really wanted to keep him or not. And this is her response. The guitar intro is Carlos Santana.
One day you'll understand how a boy becomes a man. Zion, you are all I am. Zion. Such mind very overwhelmed by what I have been chosen to perform. But then an angel came one day, told me to kneel down and pray, for unto me a man child would be born. Oh, this crazy circumstance, I knew his life deserved a chance, but everybody told me to be smart. It's your career, they said. Nothing more than to wait at Zion's door. I've never been in love like this before. Now let me pray to keep you from the perils that will surely come. See, life for you, my prince, has just begun. And I thank you for choosing me to come through what your life to be. A beautiful reflection of his grace. I know that a gift so great is only one God could create. And I'm reminded every time I see your face that the joy of my world is in Zion.
Is in Zion. Is in Zion.
Now the joy.
So we were just listening to Lauryn Hill speak about her, sing about her son Zion. And now Diana is going to speak about her mother. And in a poem that she wrote called Thank You, Mama.
Thank you, Mama. This poem is one that I wrote for changing hurt to hope, write or speak out against domestic violence. And I went to the beach one day and the call for submissions were in place. And I was trying to decide, what did I want to write this year? What poem, what message was there for me to give to the community. And this poem came to me. So my mom was involved in domestic violence and my experience witnessing. So here it is. Thank you, Mama. Tears rolled down my face, remembering the pain of my parents' struggle to communicate, unable to speak the language of their minds, of their hearts, of their souls, their truths camouflaged, their needs and desires restrained, their essence distorted, their spirits unseen. Intimate moments were a constant roar, bullets of disdain, threats and humiliation, a destructive system stabilized in chaos. The only option for peace? To run away. My mother, a runaway. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama, for knowing, for trusting spirit, for saving me. Mama, I've learned after many years of witnessing. I've learned by watching the incessant pouring of pain. Mama, I've learned what not to do. Mama, I'm sorry for your hurt, your struggle. It lives in me. Your light unseen, your wounding masked by thunderous rage. I'm sorry, Mama. Mama, I had to learn what I witnessed affected me. I clammed up. I retreated into my shell, my true self bound and ground and guarded. I had to learn to set free my essence, reveal my light, honor my soul, respect my wisdom. But guess what, Mama? The skills you lacked, the skills I lacked, and the skills the ones before you lacked, this cycle has stopped. Kapoof, finished. Mama, I vow not to be subjected to negativity. No one would hurt me, and I would hurt no one. Mama, I've learned to express from my heart, not my reactions. With trial and error, I never lost hope. I have learned. I've learned to be myself, fierce and smart and loving and creative, no longer hidden within my shell, no longer distrusting and passive, no longer unimportant. Thank you, Mama, for saying enough is enough. Thank you for planting the seed that told me I could leave, the seed of my worthiness. Thank you, Mama, for leaving, for planting a garden of opportunity, for saving yourself and saving me. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama. So anyways, that's to my mom in honor of her struggles.
We want to thank you for joining us tonight. This beautiful poem, Di, and just like us, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can help our community be visible and seen and embraced as vibrant, proud, and courageous. We'll be back next month with Live at Pride.
Happy Mother's Day, mothers.
Until then,
good night.
Support for Outbeat Radio and KRCB-FM comes from members and from the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts, proudly presenting David Sedaris for an evening of humor and storytelling. Essayist and author of Holidays on Ice, Me Talk Pretty One Day, and Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls, David Sedaris will be at the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts this Wednesday, May 6th at 8 p.m. You can learn more at wellsfargocenterarts.org or by calling 546-3600. You're listening to KRCB-FM Windsor Santa Rosa Radio 91. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.
Still so many answers.